This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Go ahead. Why don't you continue where you left off there?
So another interesting detail that I've been finding is that sometimes when you have this localized outbreak of phenomena of UFOs and Bigfoot sightings, you also have this outbreak of Black Panther reports. That series of events I was telling you about happened in the 70s, early 80s here in Southwest PA. That was actually picked up by the local TV and newspapers. And there was a huge amount of interest in it. And I can tell you, in the last few years, I've been up in those areas with other investigators where we're getting reports of Bigfoot sightings. We're out there and we're finding on people's private property in beautiful summer in the afternoons. There are people reporting big trees, healthy trees, just falling and breaking. And we're finding healthy trees out there, 10, 12 feet off the ground, completely healthy, no other tree damage here. We're finding big, heavy branches just twisted and broken off. And it's not weather-related. I'm pretty familiar with weather phenomena and microbursts and things like that. There was no indication of any weather phenomena in the area. We're finding similar type of things in other areas where people are reporting the same type of thing. In the last few days now, in the last week, I've now interviewed, and these people have come to me, interestingly, I've interviewed three other people, probably within a couple miles of each other, who live in the same general area of the incidents I just told you about happened in 79 to 82, and this is ongoing right now. They're still hearing things going on and having activity going on back in that area again. There are things going on out there that's going on constantly that we just don't hear, that people don't hear about.
Okay, but now I'm going to be putting on my skeptic hat a little bit here because I think we have to. This is absolutely wonderful. I love hearing these stories. These anecdotal accounts are just amazing. I've had strange experiences myself. I know strange stuff goes on in the world. But in my study, at least on the UFO side, which that's more my thing, is ufology than cryptids, we know that most of the reports are of something mundane. It's something that someone is mistaken or a misidentification, and people just aren't that familiar a lot of times with what goes on out in the woods. I've spent quite a bit of time out in nature. There's some pretty big animals out there that make some pretty weird sounds like moose, and they're in some of these areas. So unless you see it, you know, maybe people are just getting spooked by something that is perfectly natural in some cases.
And I agree 100%. My position since the day I started out in the field in 1965 and working with all these research people over the years, our position, my position always was to try to find a logical explanation for what the person experiences. And the high percentage of times, whether it's a UFO sighting or a cryptid, there's very commonly an explanation for so many of the reports. UFOs, multitudes of misidentification. They go on and on and on, even today. A lot of reports in recent months have been the Starlink satellites. Planet Venus gets reported all the time when it's about lights on aircraft, reentry of space debris, meteors, drones, sky lanterns. I mean, you go on and on and on. So there's a lot of sightings like that. But I've investigated multitudes of incidents of large structured objects that are very close and times of some type of interference. Let me tell you another interesting case, just an example of what I dealt with. September 3rd, 1987. Multiple witnesses, once again on a busy four-lane highway, actually in my hometown, several miles from where I live, what was then by the Green Gate Mall, and multiple reports, including from law enforcement, who witnessed this as well. Early evening, this object is coming across this large area of high-tension power lines. This object is about 300 feet off the ground, and the object itself is like a big metallic, elongated, cigar-shaped object about 300 feet in length with multiple lights on it, completely silent. So this object is moving across the high-tension power lines across Route 30. On the other side of the road is a power substation. As this object is moving horizontally across the sky, it suddenly turns, this huge thing turns vertical in the sky. And when it does, all the power in the area goes out. And later when the engineers went to examine the annex behind the mall where the theaters were, they found all three of the master fuses in the circuit had been blown, something apparently is just unheard of, and there was concern over it. I mean, that's just an example of the one of probably hundreds of cases like of low-level, close-range sightings that I've investigated over the years. So, yes, there are multitudes of cases that you can explain. And even with Bigfoot, there have been misidentifications of Bigfoot. Some were bear, some were very large, shaggy dogs, some were guys in camouflage outfits. So there were different things that you could be sure they saw. But I've interviewed hundreds of people who've seen Bigfoot. And, I mean, I'm telling you, I've had people within feet of these creatures. Again, if you get out there and you see the human reaction, the emotion, probably about 2 years ago or so, I interviewed some hunters who never believed these stories until they saw their own. And these, I mean, one of those guys was almost crying in tears. I mean, his life was changed. His life was the woods. He said, oh, I'll never go back in the woods again. What would be such a strong effect to cause him to change his lifestyle? And this is what you deal with all the time.
No, the woods are a pretty freaky place to be. Yeah, and when you know that there is some strange stuff that goes on out there, yeah, I've had experiences too. So definitely, you know, once you've had a couple of those, it's like, well, I'm not so sure I really want to go camping.
Let me tell you something even stranger. So we're talking about cryptids, and there's a lot of things. I mean, it's amazing, again, the things that I have to deal with and the public is dealing with. And it was back in the fall of 2017 when a series of very strange events of maybe kind of a newish cryptid, at least in this area, even though now we're hearing reports from across the country of something similar going on. Now, I haven't had any reports in recent months, but up to not too long ago, I was hearing other reports here in Pennsylvania, and other investigators were getting reports as well. But I may have heard a few somewhat similar reports, but not the detail I was getting until August of 2017. And this came from a police officer on patrol. And he contacted me soon after it happened. And he was patrolling an area in southwest Pennsylvania, rural area, that he was very familiar with. And he's riding down the road that evening, and he sees what appears to be a ball of light, a dull white light on the ground. And he stops his patrol car because he's thinking, I've never seen any artificial lighting, any kind of light like that around here before. So he stops there, he's watching this thing, and suddenly that ball of light rises up from the ground. And he realizes, he said that it was about 50 yards away when he first saw it. It rose up from the ground, and then he realized it was actually the head of a very strange being that looked to be at least 6 feet tall or larger. He said it was tall and skeletal thin. He said he believed that the thing had been lying on its belly on the ground with its head facing the road when he first saw it. It then stood up facing the road, and in that dark area, he saw the dull light from the glowing head illuminating the upper section of the body. And he said the creature turned to the right. He said that when it turned, he said, to the left, and then it took off at incredible speed. And he said, I assume it ran, but he said, at that point, I couldn't see its legs. And he said, the speed of it was completely abnormal. He said, I've never seen it move so fast in my life. Basically, what he said is it was there and it was gone. And guess what? That's almost the same words we've heard from Bigfoot witnesses, where these things suddenly appeared and disappeared. But anyhow, to go on with his report, he said the thing standing there, the head's about 8 to 10 inches in diameter, kind of shaped like a ball, but it may have been a little bit egg-shaped as well. The illumination from the head illuminated the shoulders, the top of the chest, and a section of the arms. He could not see its hands. The chest looked to be about 18 inches across. The waist appeared to be small. The arms were unusually long. The long limbs looked skeletal with no muscle mass, and the skin tone looked to be a dull grayish blue. He could not see any facial features at all. And when the thing took off, he pulled his patrol car up, put a spotlight on it. He saw no evidence of tracks or anything in the area. Well, that was in itself a very interesting report. It was probably about 2-3 weeks later that I get a call from another witness. I can't remember exactly, 20-30 miles away from that area.
Let's do our break here. About that second call, we'll hear about it. With Stan, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Hello, Paracast people. I'm Greg Carlwood, the host of the Higher Side Chats podcast, an uninterrupted and action-packed interview-based show where I talk to some of the brightest minds for our troubled times about all things paranormal, occult, esoteric, and conspiratorial. After 10 years, we've heard it all. Alien moon bases, archons, hollow earth, technocratic and biomedical agendas, magic, mind control, and Lovecraftian monsters. Oh my. Usually, the first hour of the show is free, and the second hour is for members who sign up for the Higher Side Chats Plus at $8 a month. But praise be, we're giving Paracast listeners 2 free weeks of Plus when you use the all caps coupon code PARACAST. Go to thehiresidechats.com, sign up with the code PARACAST, and dive into the nearly never-ending archive of great interviews I've been lucky enough to get over the years, from David Politis to David Icke, and many, many guests not named David. Check it out. You're going to love it. All right, Gene, was that good? Can we use that one?
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, Stan, we had to stop there. You're going to tell us about a second call about this incident?
Well, something somewhat similar. I got a call from a person that lived way out the country, again, a rural area, and this person, and I've interviewed this person numerous times, including in recent weeks again, even though this happened back in 2017, this person observed this large disc-shaped object with multiple lights on it, making no sound, hovering over the area. And a short time later, they hear this incredibly bizarre screeching, screaming sound that they had never heard before. The person was familiar with the animals in the area, the owls, and they said this was much louder, stronger, never like it before. And a few minutes later, it's dusk getting dark, it's getting about dusk, and in the distance sees what she thought in the distance was a person approaching. But as it got closer, realized this was something much stranger. Again, I believe around 6 or 7 foot tall, very skeletal thin. Both of them were hairless. The first one, the police and this thing, hairless. It looked sickly to her. Saw no facial features that she could make out. But in this case, it looked like it had some type of an area of a little bit of a covering on it that was not real clear. And this thing got within about 25 feet of her, she said. And she said, oh, all of a sudden she was overcome with this terrific fear. She couldn't move. And then finally, she was able to move and run to her home. And she said it was, I believe, an hour and a half, 2 hours later, she looked outside and both the object and whatever it was gone. But she said when she left, the UFO was still there. So that was going on at the same time that she was seeing this thing. Even more reports. Different areas, different counties of people reporting. I had another fellow from Armstrong County who basically his home was in the woods. He lived in the woods. He worked in the woods. And this one evening, and that was probably around the same time period, or maybe later, I think maybe around maybe November or something in the fall of 2018, I believe it was, yes. He's familiar with the deer in the area, of course, and he hears some kind of footstepping, and he thought it was very unusual the way it was moving. He went back down to his house, and he's sitting there in the kitchen. He's sitting at the table eating. 10 feet away is his big unobstructed glass door, so there's no drapes on it, and here's this similar really skinny, bony, hairless-looking creature crouched down with glowing yellow eyes staring at him through the door, looking right into his face. He said went down to all fours, scampered around the house, and that was the last he saw of it. So these are the kind of reports that are coming in. We've heard a couple reports where it had a glowing head. We had some reports of glowing eyes and other cases where it was just the creature itself. But we're hearing similar reports now from across the country. Something similar being seen.
I was just listening and being entirely fascinated by these stories. I mean, you're like a treasure trove of awesome sightings. Now, when you say that you're getting these reports, are you talking about that they're happening now, like right in 2020? Or are you still talking about back in the 70s?
No, we're talking about those cases happened in 2017 and 2018. And we heard some reports in 2019. So this is all current phenomena. I mean, the Black Panther reports I'm telling you about happened in the last few months. We had a Bigfoot sighting about August 30th in the afternoon. This was down on the border of Pennsylvania and Maryland. And here again is a woman who didn't believe in Bigfoot. Her husband did. He was driving the car. They were just on a leisurely little sightseeing adventure. And what happened was they're riding down the road, and it was a few minutes after she saw it that she said to her husband, I think I just saw a Bigfoot. And she went into great detail about it, and he said, well, why didn't you tell me when you saw it? She said, I was sitting there looking at this thing. I was in such shock, I couldn't get a voice to come out of my mouth. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. She said, I never believed in Bigfoot. I believe it now.
Okay, so Black Panthers, though, okay, Bigfoot, that is kind of weird. But then there's these small ones. Like down in Florida, though, there's been some primates that have escaped and they're out in the wild. They've been sighted in California, too. Like, do you think people might be mistaking, in some cases, some of these actually escaped primates from that people had at one time shows, and then they get at them as pets. You got these exotic pets. There's probably, you know, there's lions, there's tigers. There's a guy down there that he raises tigers, right? I mean, maybe they just got out into the wild and they're just actual real animals that are now living in the wild.
Okay, so you're talking about the Black Panthers now, and yes, that's something, when we've had these reports over the years, and there have been numerous reports, I'm working on a fourth book that'll go into detail about a lot of these sightings we're talking about, and many more we're not going to be talking about today, we won't have time. And again, there's that pattern sometimes of these things showing up in the same areas with Bigfoot. There have been cases across the country that many people don't know about where more than one cryptid has been seen together. So there have been cases where the Bigfoot and the panther, a Bigfoot and other creatures seen next to each other at the same time. And in the cases over the years when we've had sightings, especially in some more of the more populated areas of these Black Panthers, first thing was checked, was there any zoos, was there any animal places where they could have escaped from? And there's not that many in captivity anyhow in Pennsylvania, and nothing was ever missing. And I'll give you a good example. This was 1983 in a suburb of Pittsburgh. It actually made the news. It's in the major newspapers around the area. That morning, a mechanic was working on a car. Now, what the story is, there's a big wooded area. There was a big fence that separated the big wooded area from this large auto dealership. Mechanic's changing a headlight on a car that morning when suddenly this huge Black Panther dives over the fence, dives over the car he's working on, and lands a few feet next to him with a dead animal in its mouth. It's growling at him. It has an animal in its mouth. He's looking right into it. He can smell it. He can hear it. And the thing turns around and jumps back over the fence. And a short time later, they see a large one and the big Black Panther. Other people see it. They call the Pittsburgh police. That leads to a major search by the police and animal control people with tranquilizer guns. They searched and searched. And they never found the thing. Nothing was missing. One of my guys in my group was a, I believe it was a special forces tracker years and years ago when this happened. He went down and he followed the tracks for a while and then they lost the tracks. And again, nothing was there. But let me tell you another case I investigated, which was in my last book. And this happened up in Fayette County again back in the 80s. And the details, what I remember, this fellow got home late from work one night. It was a cold night out in the country. His car was overheating. He needed to get some antifreeze. He went into the garage to get some antifreeze. He came out, and he hears this growl. And he turns around, there's this large, like a large house cat, making a pretty good loud growl. He didn't pay much attention to it. He goes back to putting antifreeze in the car, and about a minute or two later, he hears a much louder growl, and when he turns, that black cat has physically grown maybe another foot.
Let's just assume here it's not a werewolf. Guide to a break. Stan Gordon, more to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
As expected, President Trump has chosen Amy Coney Barrett.
The president has nominated me to serve on the United States Supreme Court. If confirmed, I would not assume that role for the sake of those in my own circle. I would assume this role to serve you. I would discharge the judicial oath, which requires me to administer justice without respect to persons. do equal right to the poor and rich, and faithfully and impartially discharge my duties under the United States Constitution. I have no illusions that the road ahead of me will be easy, either for the short term or the long haul. I never imagined that I would find myself in this position. But now that I am, I assure you that I will meet the challenge with both humility and courage.
This is USA Radio News. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has lifted all coronavirus restrictions on bars and restaurants. That means they can open at full capacity in Florida, and counties are virtually powerless if they want to impose local restrictions.
If a local restricts between 50 and 100, they've got to provide the justification, and they've got to identify what the costs involved with doing that are.
Until this announcement, local governments could go further in their restrictions compared to the state. A dad in the Bronx is being hailed as a hero. USA's Ken Burns explains.
He shielded his three small children from gunfire at a local car dealership. 39-year-old Anthony Jefferson was looking to surprise the mother of his kids with a new whip for her upcoming birthday. According to a GoFundMe page, he lost his job due to injuries from that incident. That fundraiser has raised well over $100,000 as of Friday afternoon. For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Before we get on with the description, the Black Panther and everything, Stan Gordon, it almost sounds like with the size change and everything, like we're almost dealing with a sort of shape shifter.
And that's what people are telling us. I mean, these things, again, at times, just like with certain types of UFOs, these creatures, even with Bigfoot, quite often they look physically solid, but in some cases they're not. We've heard cases where sometimes people see part of the body is solid, other parts is transparent or out of focus. Sometimes it's kind of misty or cloudy around it. I had cases back in the 70s where, for example, up in Chamonville, which has these big stone monuments. People were seeing these creatures standing, for example, by a monument. Instantaneously, it would physically disappear from there and reappear somewhere else. And we had reports of that from other areas. We've had cases of balls of light that have physically changed into creatures. And this, again, is all over the country and around the world. I mean, you talk to so many other primary investigators out there, like Nick Redfern forever. He also has these kind of reports as well. He's had these reports for years and years as well. So it's not just me that's getting these reports. It's been going on for a long time, but so many people are reluctant to talk about them.
Yeah, I gotta love Nick Redfern. You know, just fabulous investigator, writer, and he's another guest we've got to get on in the not too distant future. But you've also got more than just books about cryptids and UFOs in general. You were kind of a specialist in the Kecksburg UFO case, if I'm not mistaken. That was like a major focus of one of your investigations.
Yeah, I was a prime investigator of the case. I was 16 years old when it happened back in December 9, 1965. And I started documenting it that night. It's breaking on the news. And I've been working on the case ever since. I mean, regardless of what the object was, it's still one of those cases that nobody can be sure what it was, and I keep an open mind to all possibilities. I mean, we could talk for days and days about the Kexburg case, but I remember the night it happened very well. It was Thursday night, December night, 1965, and I was listening to a well-known talk show in the Pittsburgh area on KDK Radio. It was the Contact Radio Show, and the reason I was tuning in is because the person in charge of the show was Mike Levine. He was the host, and unfortunately he's passed away. And he had a guest on whose name was Frank Edwards, so you'll probably recall who that person was.
You
so
know, Frank I was actually was on a TV show with Frank Edwards when I was maybe that year or something like that. I was in my late teens or something like that. And I was placed there to ask him a question on behalf of Jim Moseley. And he answered the question, and then we started talking after the show. And I don't know when he died. It couldn't have been more than a year or so later. He seemed like a really nice guy.
That's the reason I tuned in, because I wanted to hear what Frank Edwards had to say, because he was the guest, and he was going to talk about his books. And
well, yeah, he had classic, okay? Flying Saucers, Serious Business, Frank Edwards. And he was a broadcaster,
right,
too.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. In fact, I'm looking it up right now. Frank Edwards died June 23rd. June 23rd, 1967. So he yep. didn't even hang out to June 24th, unfortunately.
No, and I was actually at that big UFO Congress in New York City when all that was going on.
But right. In fact, interesting here that I actually helped Jim Moseley organize that conference. Yes. But then I had moved out of New York City. So I was not involved in the final preparations. And we had a whole story about that, because I did travel to New York to attend it and did see many of the segments. And the biggest problem Jim had was to monitor the place for security to keep people from getting in there free.
I remember that was a huge crowd.
Oh, it was. And I think it was so big that within a year or two, Jim just couldn't handle it anymore, and he sold Saucer News to Gray Barker.
Oh, yeah.
But this was the beginning. This was the beginning and end for him as to a major participation. Obviously, he was involved in the field till the day he died. But that thing was just so draining.
Anyway, so we started off here, all of this, talking about the Kexburg case, which happened back in December 9th, 1965. So that's when Frank was still around. And you were saying how you were watching an interview with him about this.
Yeah, well, actually, I was listening to it on radio. And actually, if you go through that Flying Saucer Serious Business book, there's actually a few paragraphs about the night he was on the radio on KDKA and the reports were coming in, what we're talking about. But anyhow, it was an interesting night. They were interviewing eyewitnesses. They were reading the newswire stories that were just breaking, going across the country about it. As the evening continued on, it got much more fascinating because whatever the object was, this brilliant fireball that was seen from Ontario, Canada, over Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, it came in over the greater Pittsburgh area about 4:47 p.m. as it's getting dark. So there were multitudes of reports coming in from all over western Pennsylvania. And the object apparently fell into a wood ravine near the little village of Kexburg in Westmoreland County, about 12 miles from where I live. And I wasn't driving yet. I had no way to get out there that night. So I'm running back and forth from the old console television to the radio all night trying to get the latest reports. But what got really interesting was when KDK TV was breaking in, that the military was arriving in the Kexburg area to search for an unidentified flying object. And I stayed up all night trying to write down all the details. And early the next morning, I went to the local newsstand. I hope it makes the news, and there it is, headlines in all the local papers about the UFO in Kexburg, Pennsylvania. It made the national news, and our local paper was the Greensburg Tribune Review, and had two editions. The early morning had Army Ropes Off Area, Unidentified Flying Object Falls Near Kexburg, and there was a very interesting account that apparently something had fallen into the woods. that the area was being cordoned off, that there were rumors there may have been radiation involved, so they didn't want anybody near the object, that they were waiting the arrival of civilian scientists and Army engineers to examine whatever it was. And that was a fascinating story. Well, the later edition of the paper had a number of different stories about it, and the one that caught my attention was searchers failed to find object. Went on to say that, yes, the officials searched until the early morning hours. They found absolutely nothing. And the official explanation was that it was a bright meteor in the sky. People had been mistaken. Nothing had fallen to the ground. Officially, that's where it stands today. Well, I've spent years and years from the day it happened, so was it 54, 55 years later? On occasion, I'm still hearing little tidbits of information from people about the case. And I tracked down hundreds of people who were involved. And it was over a period of weeks and months and many years that I tracked down all these different people. And at first, there was very little information to get. There were very few names out there. But over a period of time, I would hear from witnesses. I hear from neighbors or friends or relatives of people who were involved. And I tracked down people who saw the object in the sky. I had people saw the object came in very low over top of them before it fell into the woods. I talked to people who went down into the woods right after it fell and came across the object embedded in the ground. I tracked down many reporters who were there that night from all the major Pittsburgh radio, TV, and newspapers. I tracked down military sources, police authorities, and it's an amazing story.
Yeah, well, weren't there some didn't the local firemen go out there because they thought there was like a fire and they wanted to go out there and make sure that it didn't spread? And they went out, and one of the things I read about it, I mean, there must be, I guess, a bunch of different accounts, but I mean that there was accounts from people who went out there from the fire department.
You know, before we have the answer to the question, Stan Gordon, let's do a quick break, and we'll continue with Hexburg and get on to other stuff. We have one regular segment left, but we'd like you to hang out for our After the Paracast podcast. More to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Just want to confirm that Stan will hang out with us for the After the Paracast podcast, which is part of the Paracast Plus package. For more information on the Paracast Plus, go to theparacast.plus, theparacast.plus. Stan Gordon is continuing our discussion now. Final segment of the main show. So much more to go.
Just before the break there, we got into the Kexford case and some of the witnesses. And one of the documentaries on it that I had seen, and, of course, I've read a number of different accounts. And I've got a couple more questions about it, too. The local fire department was heavily involved in checking this out. Is that true?
Oh, most definitely. And how the details go, and again, we can talk for days and days about this case, but that object, whatever it was, it came in from the greater Pittsburgh area, moved out into Westmoreland County. It passed over the city of Greensburg, where I live. Unfortunately, I didn't see it. But as it moved out Route 30 eastbound, it turned to the south. And multiple witnesses, all those little communities out there, Pleasant Unity and Marguerite and Norvelt, they see this object coming across the sky, moving out to the mountains of Lauraville. We were told that it kind of hesitated at the mountain, turned back and began to track back towards Kecksburg, made another turn, and dropped down into the Wooder Ravine. And the witnesses that I talked to who saw the object go down said it did not come down like a crash at a high-speed descent. It came down almost like it was controlled. Some people said it looked like a small aircraft on approach to the airport. So it comes down into the woods. I call it a crash landing because it crashed through the trees. It knocked trees over, but the object itself was semi-buried in the ground, is basically fully intact, and there were no parachutes reported at the site. But to answer your question, if you weren't down at the site in the woods, in the ravine, you could not see it from any of the roads around the area. You'd have to be right there looking at where this thing came down. So people were calling into the 911 center, reporting seeing this fireball in the sky. Some people thought it was an aircraft in trouble or on fire. So the report was to the local fire departments of a possible downed aircraft in the Kecksburg area. But you had not only Kecksburg, you had multiple mutual aid fire departments that responded to that area. And they sent up a large search looking for a possible downed aircraft. fire department members came in. They were going to set up a grid search. It was dark that evening, and they let these guys off in trucks on the base of the woods, or going up to the field towards the woods, and they had walkie-talkies. The one fireman who became a key witness, who's a young volunteer fireman, not from Kecksburg, he heard on the radio that another team found the object that had fallen. So they hurry over to this area, and down this little ravine, they're on this little embankment, and these guys are standing around looking at this thing and realize this is not an aircraft. This is something unlike they had ever seen before. It was a large, metallic, acorn-shaped object, kind of an off-gold bronze color, one solid piece of metal. He said it looked like somebody took liquid metal and poured it into an acorn-shaped mold. There's no weld marks, no seams, no fuselage, no windows. On the raised-up back of, like, the acorn, there were markings that looked more like symbols raised up off the surface. And he said while they're there looking at this thing, they were afraid to touch it. His two men in trench coats come down through the woods, and they look at the guys, they look at the object, and they said, this area is now quarantined, leave the area immediately. Right behind them are armed soldiers coming down through the woods. And he said, they were so close to each other, they shone their flashlight beams on each other as they passed. That's just the beginning of the story. And there were multitudes of stories of people who encountered the military around the scene that night and what took place. And we know the object was taken out of the area on a large military flatbed tractor trailer with a tarp over it. It went to Lockbourne Air Force Base near Columbus, Ohio, during the early morning hours of December 10th, stayed there a short time, then went on to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And that's where it ended up at, whatever it was.
Well, I mean, so much for the idea that it's a meteor then. I mean, I know that there's astronomer skeptics who said that there was a meteor reported that night, but meteors just don't change direction a couple of times and then come in for a landing. Something that is kind of interesting is back in 2015, now you probably read this because this is out of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, someone there figured that maybe this thing was a General Electric Mark II reentry vehicle that had been launched by the Air Force as a spy satellite, but fell out of orbit. Have you heard that one?
I can tell you there have been multitudes of theories from the time it happened up to the last few years. That was the 50th anniversary, and after that time, since that time, I believe there have been four more other theories by other people who all believe their theories are correct, but they're all different. When you listen to the witnesses, when you listen to the data, a lot of people don't know all the details. There are certain details I still have never made public because I want more confirmation on it before I will confirm it. There were certain details that for years I was working on tracking down on the case, but until I had enough independent confirmation, I wouldn't publicly talk about it. One of those things was the fact that, one, there wasn't one military flatbed tractor trailer. There were two of them at the scene. And one of them went out earlier with a longer, lower load with a tarp, and then the one with the object, which was a vertical object covered with a tarp, went out during the early morning hours and went on to Ohio. So that in itself is interesting. There's a lot more to the story. Some of the witnesses looked at the picture presented and the information about the Mark II and other similar theories, and they all feel that that's not what they saw.
Well, this is really interesting, super interesting, and we're going to continue with it into after the Paracast. Just before we get that far, how do you think that this maybe fits into the grand scheme, this sort of theory of everything when it comes to the paranormal?
What are we talking about in general with UFOs and the cryptids we've been talking about?
The whole thing. Can you just sort of sum it up briefly, and then we'll get into it in more detail in our next segment?
Well, again, Kecksburg, we got to keep an open mind. There's different possibilities. It's not like a case where we had this large object seen by multiple people with a power failure. That's something very interesting and very unusual. There's many cases like that. Kecksburg, there's a lot of theories. We may never know for sure. So not putting that in the same category, except it's unidentified at this point, with a lot of the other very strange UFO cases I've looked into, the Bigfoot phenomena, I think the more and more you look at the details about it, that somehow this phenomenon is all energy related, and somehow a lot of the phenomena somehow is interrelated. None of us have the answers to what's going on. I sure don't, but I'm telling you, it's much stranger than any of us understand right now. I wouldn't be surprised if government is familiar with some aspects of this as well, and I think they're finding also that we're dealing with something that is way beyond our understanding at this point.
You know, I'm going to want to ask you about that in after the Paracast, about the government and, of course, about the Pentagon UAP task force. Definitely will be an interesting discussion to pick up on. So let's just begin to close it out here. If our listeners have more interest or questions with regard to what you do, where do they find you?
Yeah, they can go to my website, which is stangordon.info, stangordon.info. My books and my textbook documentary are available through Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. My contact information is available on my website. My email is taufo@comcast.net.
Oh, Comcast. They give us trouble sometimes in getting email to them, but we'll make a note of that. Comcast.net. We'll have Stan back, by the way, on After the Paracast, which is an exclusive feature of the Paracast Plus. We offer the After the Paracast podcast, special version of this show, that is free of the network ads and enhanced audio quality. We also have branded merchandise at theparacast.shop. So theparacast.shop, where we have four different logos to check out, by the way, different kinds of merchandise, the logo, and then you get the same selection of merchandise with each logo so you can mix and match and get all four or buy everything if you want. Theparacast.shop. And if you want to sign up for the Paracast.plus, I want to mention that we have a special, special price reduction that's going to stay with us pretty much as long as the pandemic is hurting everybody. That's the Paracast.plus. You can also find us on Facebook, by the way. If you look for the Paracast, we have a community. We have a group. We're also on Twitter, at the Paracast. Stan Gordon, you are a treasure, sir. And we're going to have more conversation with you on After the Paracast. Thank you for joining us this week.
Thanks for having me on again.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.